It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and I'm standing in the middle of the Carnegie Science Center in the Highmark Sportsworks, where through June 19th, Science Center visitors can check out the USGA's American Golf History Coming to Life experience in the Highmark Sportsworks. In a custom golf simulator, visitors can try hitting period-specific clubs from the 1930s and the 1960s right up to modern day. Designed for those who play the game and those who have never held a club, this exhibit invites visitors to interact with the game's rich history and learn about the unique role Pittsburgh has played in shaping the game of golf in the United States for more than a century. I'm joined now by Eric Steigner. He's the guy at the Science Center who leads visitors through the USGA golfing experience. Eric, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, thank you very much. Glad you guys are here to visit with us today.
Explain what this exhibit is all about and why it's here.
Well, this is an actual experience for the visitors, like you did state, a showmanship, a showcase, where a visitor gets to experience those different eras, the clubs from a hickory club to a steel to the modern day graphite type clubs, hit against an amazing, huge 100-inch screen here that actually immerses you into the experience of golf. Hitting from the actual USGA, US Open's Oakmont first tee, it's a wild experience here.
Okay, so people learn a little bit about how the equipment in the game of golf has changed. They learn about the history of the game. And there's even a video display that shows some of the past U.S. Open champions, right?
Through each of these eras, we actually get to show you that your hitting style versus somebody who has won the U.S. Open at Oakmont over those eras and how well they did on the driving range or from the first tee box, and you can see how well you did against those champions.
Okay, so there have been 8 U.S. Opens held at Oakmont, 8 different champions, I think, but let's go back to the first one, all right? The first U.S. Open at Oakmont would have been what year?
The first one would have actually been Tommy Armour in 1927, and that would have been the USGA's US Open at Oakmont, a long time ago.
Okay, so we're looking at Tommy Armour there up on the screen. And so what kind of a club would Tommy Armour, you have all these different bags of clubs, and I'm looking at some ones with hickory shafts. I'm guessing that's the kind of golf club that Tommy Armour would have been swinging back in 1927.
Tommy Armour, Sam Parks Jr., through those 10, 15 years, these would have been the clubs that they actually used. It has the full hickory shaft on it, a very tough head. And as you see old videos of these awesome golfers swinging these clubs, it's an amazing, amazing sight to see the bend and the flexibility of these hickory clubs. You'd expect them to break, but they've lasted for rounds and rounds of golf for these awesome golfers.
All right, so can I go and attempt a drive with one of those hickory golf clubs?
Absolutely. Let's get you started here.
I feel like we're back in 1927. I'm pulling out a club, and we're going right to the first tee, which is a par 4, 482 yards.
Quite a distance, yes. Obviously, this is the modern day setup. It's probably changed dramatically over those few years, but it is a very long welcome to the U.S. Open, welcome to Oakmont, par 4, 482 yards.
Okay, and so is that a dog leg left? Is that what I'm seeing, or am I imagining that?
It is a little bit of a kick to the left, not a full dog leg. If you put it down either the right or left side, chances are, as long as it's a straight shot, you should stay on the fairway.
Okay, so I'm going to tee this up and try to, you know, at least hit it down the fairway a couple hundred yards anyway with my wooden shaft golf club here. All right, hickory shaft, here we go. So I'm standing on a mat, and we've got the golf ball placed on a tee that's stuck in the mat. And where am I? I'm in an enclosed area, so where am I hitting this, Eric?
You're going to actually hit it directly into the projected screen, and that's a hitting mat. Hit as hard as you need to, as hard as you can, and it's going to pick up the reading and actually show you the flight trajectory of your ball.
This is going to be really cool. All right, everybody step back. I'm in the rough.
So it's going to seem maybe that you didn't go as far, but you actually hit it about 100 yards, which is wonderful, especially with these olden clubs. But understand, we're also shooting from the championship tee box. So it puts you a little bit further off the actual fairway than what the other tee boxes may do.
America's president in 1927 was Calvin Coolidge. 1 gallon of gas cost 15 cents. The best picture of the year was wings. And the U.S. Open champion's first prize was $500.
So what you actually get to see now on the screen is we had a little tidbit. We have information about the USGA. We have information about Pittsburgh and that era. And what you actually see on the screen now is the Hickory era. Your driving distance versus Tommy Armour, who was the champion in 1927. He hit it 278 yards with that exact club that was in your hand, which, as you can probably understand, is pretty impressive.
Okay, so should we go from 1927 to a different era here?
Let's move along. So this is actually going to be the still era. This moves from the 50s on up to the early 2000s.
Steel shaft.
Correct.
Steel shaft. Here I am back at the par 4 first hole, but it's a different era. So instead of wearing knickers, what am I wearing in the 50s, huh?
We still stayed in the knickers at that time. Some things changed in the forms of hats, some of the poofier type shoulder jackets. We did still hold on to some knickers through the earlier time, and then we moved into the longer khaki style pants and other black and colored pants.
Hopefully I can do a little better with a steel shaft club. How did the steel shaft clubs change the way people played the game in the 50s?
So as the mechanics and physiology and mentality of golfers changed over the years, coming from a wooden shaft and the flexibility and the lasting time of a wooden shaft, moving into a steel era, they felt that the flexibility would be better. The lifelong of the club would last longer. A lot more options on dynamics of change in the way the club actually hit.
Do we know who some of the champions were in the 50s at Oakmont?
Ben Hogan's victory in the 1953 U.S. Open was his fourth U.S. Open title, tying him with Willie Anderson and Bob Jones.
So 50s and 60s is the steel shaft, and we've moved from the steel shaft into the modern era, and it become graphite and larger heads, larger dynamics, what we'd like to say sweeter spots on the club, so a larger hitting surface.
All right, so we'll try one of those.
And because of the larger head of the club, I'm actually going to tee the ball up significantly higher.
I expect to hit this one a tremendous distance. So how many people have come by, and what is the reaction of people who have an opportunity to do this?
There's been specifically today about 800 or 900 visitors that I know about to the Carnegie Science Center today. I would say a good 300 or 400 were able to go through the full experience that you did today as well. So it was a very significant amount of people. The biggest thing is that they get to experience golf. They get to see what it's about. They get to hold a club. They get to experience the difference like you did today on the changes through the eras. So it's not just hearing about things that have changed. It's actually being able to experience it and touch and feel. And that's amazing.
Are there things that people learn about the specific aspects of golf, the physics of golf, that they might not have understood before they got here?
Absolutely, especially with the youth that are learning sports as a whole nowadays. They're learning the dynamics of each sport and how their body makes a change in the way that they are acting or the way that they're playing their sport, and how their changes that they make on themselves and how they're interacting with that sport may change their ability to play the sport, makes them better at that sport. So simple as keeping your head down, as simple as keeping your eye on the ball or the rotation, your hips, not only is a big aspect of golf, but it's any sport out there, and they get the chance to find that a lot of these sports are almost one and the same, and being able to experience a different sport kind of broadens their horizon.
Keeping your eye on the ball is something that comes up in a lot of sports. It is easier to do in golf because the ball's not moving at you, it's sitting right in front of you, and yet it's a lot harder than it sounds to keep your head down and keep your eye on the ball. Your head tends to want to go up and follow the ball before you've actually struck it. So what are the things that people learn about just making sure that they don't lift their head up too quickly?
Absolutely. That's definitely something that the kids, besides moving their feet around a lot, they want to see where their ball went. They want to know how far they hit. And it is great that they're able to see it, but a part of this experience is to understand that basing yourself or looking at that ball and seeing that strike, that impact, especially with such a fast-moving item in your hand, that eye-hand contact, that focus definitely has to come into play. So that's a part of what we do here and try and teach is to keep your eye on the ball, to focus on your strike, and then the end results just become bigger and better for you each time.
Well, it's terrific stuff, and I want to thank you for joining us to kind of lead us through this new exhibit, the American Golf History, how it comes to life, not only in real life, but here at the Carnegie Science Center at the Highmark Sportsworks. We've been talking with Eric Steigner, and again, he is at the Science Center leading visitors through the USGA golf experience. Eric, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you guys very much, and feel free to hit some more with us today.
Coming up, we'll talk about a new planetary discovery. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.